We're looking at Ephesians 4, verse 32 on forgiveness. And it has special meaning for me because I grew up in a dysfunctional family and there was a lot of unforgiveness. And it tears families apart. And for many years, I didn't become a Christian. I wasn't saved till I was 40 years old. And prior to that, I was probably angry at my father for at least 10 years. Just unforgiveness. And our family was torn apart after my grandfather died because he left his money and his estates to people that made them upset. And it never got healed. And my mom died at 63, a month before I got saved. My dad, he died when I was in the Philippines with Jill in 1999. And, it was hard because the first thing I thought was I didn't get to say that I loved him. Anyway, forgiveness is very important to all of us. And I want to talk about Ephesians 4:32. We've done this before, but I will read the verse, Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, there are times when it's difficult to forgive somebody. They've hurt you, done something that really offends you. And you think, I'm not going to forgive them. That's what I was like with my dad, because I believed he hurt me so much. But the truth is, forgiveness is not difficult for Christians. It's not to be difficult. And that's what Ephesians 4:32 tells us. They tell us it's made easy when we forgive like God forgave. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And there's three parts that I want to touch on this morning. The first is the phrase, for Christ's sake. The simple phrase has so much meaning to us as believers. For all the good things that God has given to us has been given to us for Christ's sake. Especially the forgiveness of our sins. He's bestowed that upon us for Christ's sake. The word sake means account or regard or course or cause. God has forgiven us on account of Christ. He's forgiven us in the interest of Christ. He's forgiven us because of Christ. And when we consider this phrase, we understand, first of all, that it means God has forgiven us for the sake of Christ's atonement offered on the cross. As it says in Isaiah 33:22, for the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. God is able to overlook our sins and our transgressions because of the atonement that Jesus offered by dying on the cross. Atonement simply means satisfaction. Jesus satisfied God's demand for justice by dying on the cross after taking our sins upon himself. That's Romans 5:10 and 11 says, for if when we were enemies, We were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You know, we must never fall into the world's way of thinking about sin. Today, sin is being thought of as having no great consequences. There's a lighthearted approach to the laws of God, and even, as we know, open rebellion to God's law. I'm talking about the Ten Commandments. You know, just look at the laws that have been changed in our country. When you think that it's okay to allow women to decide whether they'll keep their unborn child or not. Or a doctor will willingly help somebody kill themselves. And then, as we know about immorality being accepted in the land, and if you'd publicly speak against this, you risk being fined and maybe in some countries even thrown in jail. But we must not forget that these sins will not go unpunished. For God is our judge, he's our lawgiver, and he's our king. He's the supreme judge and will execute the law against every single person who has broken the law. God cannot forgive sin. He doesn't wink at sin. There must be a penalty. You got to pay for your sin. And there's no person who will be able to stand before God as the supreme judge and claim his or her innocence, except those who have been reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ. God has forgiven each and every Christian for the sake of Christ's atonement on the cross. Secondly, God has forgiven us for the sake of Christ as representative. The reason for our sin is due to the original sin of our father, Adam. When he committed that first offense and disobeyed God, the whole world fell into sin, and death came upon all of creation and all of all mankind. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's Romans 5:12. Adam was our representative, and we have inherited Adam's sin, because we all come from the seed of Adam. But Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Adam brought condemnation and death upon all, but Jesus, our representative, has brought forgiveness of sin and life. Jesus bore our penalty, bore my penalty and your penalty, and has fulfilled the law, which says that all transgressors of the law must die. Jesus is our representative. He's now at the right hand of God, and God, for Christ's sake, has accepted us in him and has forgiven us in him. God considers us as righteous for the sake of Christ as our representative. Another reason God has forgiven us is for the sake of his love for his Son, Jesus Christ. Can any of us, with our limited earthly minds, fully comprehend the deep love that God has for his Son? God is one, but he exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There's a timeless bond between God the Father and his Son that's cemented in perfect love. Remember, Jesus was obedient to his Father's will. And as a servant of his father, Jesus was obedient to his will, which ultimately meant death on the cross. But God loved Jesus because Jesus laid his life down for your sin and for my sin. He did that in obedience to the will of God. Therefore, Jesus said in John 10:17, therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. God forgives us for the sake of Christ whom he loves. You know, when you turn to Christ in faith, God forgave you for the sake of his Son, who he saw hanging on the cross, bloodied, broken, and beaten for the sins he never committed. Fourthly, we can understand that God has forgiven us for the sake of glorifying Christ. When on earth, Jesus glorified his heavenly Father while doing the work that God had sent him to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. And when calling on earth, all on earth to repentance and salvation, Jesus continued to glorify God the Father. And when it came time for Jesus to die on the cross, he asked his Father that he be glorified. He said in John 17:4-5, when he was praying to God the Father, he said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Every time someone believes in Jesus Christ and places their faith in him as their Savior, God saves that person for the sake of glorifying Christ. Salvation is only possible when the name of Jesus Christ is lifted up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto myself. God glorifies his Son when he forgives us, because it was his Son who makes forgiveness, or who makes our salvation possible. The phrase, for Christ's sake, is essential to us as Christians. But we must continue to consider a second point. A second phrase is, God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And we can be assured that God has forgiven us certainly. There's no doubt that God has forgiven us. It's a sure truth that we can count on. It doesn't say God will forgive you or God might forgive you. It doesn't say you were on the way to God forgiving you. God has forgiven you certainly. And being forgiven isn't something we need to work for. It isn't a goal we try to reach by doing things to win God's favor, supporting charities, giving to the poor, attending church. God has forgiven us the instant we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and called on him to save us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The instant you believed by faith in Christ, the burdens of your sins were lifted off your shoulders. And they've been erased from the records, never to return. No matter how bad our past has been, no matter how terrible our sins were, there's not one trace of sin to mar our record, for they've been totally, totally washed by the blood of Christ. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isaiah 1:18. Not only has God forgiven us certainly, but God has also forgiven us continuously. That instant we were forgiven, it wasn't the end of forgiveness. because any sin we might commit as a believer is still forgiven. Somebody here in this room recently got a speeding ticket, and when he pays the fine, he can still get another speeding ticket, right? If he still breaks the law. But as a believer, you're forgiven for all the lies you told. But as a believer, you might tell another lie, but you don't have to go back and ask for forgiveness. Well, you ask for forgiveness, but you don't have to get saved again. Once saved, always saved. There's no end of grace that God has given you and me. He continually forgives us. We no longer have to fear judgment and condemnation because our life is hid with Christ in God. We're continuously forgiven by our Heavenly Father for the sake of Christ. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And think also about the fact that God has forgiven us freely. There was nothing we had to do to be forgiven. We couldn't give anything or offer anything to God to be forgiven. I don't know if you've ever seen a young man. He has no legs and no arms. And I've heard him preach. He's a believer. Well, what could he do for the Lord? He can't dress himself. He can't do anything. But God has forgiven him freely. We can't buy God's forgiveness with money. He's forgiven us by his grace freely given to us when we turned in humble faith to Christ, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's Romans 3:24. Also, God has forgiven us fully. God didn't take a list of our sins that we have committed and blot some of them out. He took the entire list. Might be many, many volumes. I know it was for me. And Jesus took them to the cross. And he paid for your sins. He paid for my sins with his life. And the Ten Commandments that were against us were blotted out. The list was nailed to the cross of Christ, signifying that he had paid in full the price for every sin, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's Colossians 2:14. And we can be assured that God will never remember our sins, ever. When you go to be with the Lord in heaven, you're not going to hear somebody, Jesus isn't going to say, well, I want to talk about what you did in 1972, February 3rd. God says in Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. God will not remember our sins. And also, God has forgiven us eternally. The promise we have from God is not only forgiveness of sins, but eternal life. Jesus says in John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And God says in Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. We can trust God, take him at his word, because God cannot lie. And God assures us that he will never take back his forgiveness. It was a gift that he gave us. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Romans 11:29. God has forgiven us certainly, freely, fully, and eternally. And he's forgiven us for Christ's sake. So this brings us to application in our lives. And that's forgiving one another. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Notice the verse says forgiving one another. It doesn't say forgiving another or forgiving others. It's a two-way street forgiveness. Sometimes we need to forgive another person, and other times we need to be forgiven by another person. Sometimes it's a mutual forgiveness. And we must be kind to one another and tender-hearted. That's how forgiveness happens. If you have a hard heart, you're not going to be forgiving. That's how we're to behave. We're to forbear one another. We're not to get into arguments where we end up yelling at one another, maybe even fighting. With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And when you think about it, forgiving another person, when we forgive one another, it's so insignificant compared to God forgiving us for Christ's sake. When God forgives us, He's the supreme judge of the universe. He is the holy and mighty God who has forgiven us, who are rebellious and sinful people. God is the righteous judge over all the earth, over every single person who has been born since Adam and Eve were first created. Psalm 50 verse 6 says, "And the heavens shall declare His righteousness, for God is judge Himself." God has forgiven many, many millions of people over the years, and they have committed many, many sins. Our holy and righteous God, for Him to forgive us is something that is great. That's why when we forgive others, it should be regarded as a small matter. It should be easy for us to forgive one another. But if there's a time when we find it difficult to forgive someone, there's three words that'll help us. And you think, I'll forgive that person for Christ's sake. For the sake of Jesus Christ, we're to be tender-hearted towards one another for Christ's sake. We're to be kind to one another for Christ's sake. We're to forgive one another for Christ's sake. You know, it happens. It happens in families. It happens between husbands and wives. It happens between friends. We just must remember Jesus Christ made a great sacrifice for each one of us. When He died on the cross, why did He do it? He did it because He's kind. He's tender-hearted. He died for you so God would forgive you. Shortly before Jesus died, He was hanging on the cross, and He prayed these words, Luke 23:34, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus had been beaten. He had been whipped. He had been nailed, stripped of His clothing, nails hammered through His hands and through His legs. They were His feet. People were surrounding Him. They were staring at Him. They were mocking Him. They had been spitting on Him. They were cursing Him. But Jesus just prayed, "Father, forgive them." Maybe some of those people who mocked His crucifixion, maybe they got saved later on. We don't know. But we are to do the same for the sake of Jesus Christ. Like the Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. If you are a born-again believer, you have the mind of Christ. You have the Spirit of God in you. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" But we, that's you and me, we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Didn't Jesus tell us to have humble and meek hearts and learn from him? Did he not say that? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's Matthew 11, 29 and 30. It doesn't matter. Sometimes you get angry. Sometimes you're hurt. But you have to forgive that person for Christ's sake. Just remember, God, for Christ's sake, forgave you of your many offenses and your sins. So you likewise must forgive others for Christ's sake. And whatever you, when forgive others, whatever the offense, it will be made easy when you think, I'm going to do this for the sake of my Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we're kind and tender-hearted towards one another, there will be a forgiving spirit among us. But there will also be fewer times when people are offended or hurt by angry words or nasty and cutting remarks. That's because we'll treat each other with kindness and with affection. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor preferring one another. We'll guard our tongues. We'll be careful not to say hurtful things to others. We will esteem others better than ourselves and give preference to one another over our own wants and our own desires. As it says in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Vainglory is arrogance or pride, but in lowliness of mind, that's humility. Let each esteem other better than themselves. And we will exhibit the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the way we treat one another. We will love one another. We will be happy in each other's company. We will be at peace with one another. We will be patient and long-suffering with one another. We will be gentle in our behavior. We will seek to do good things for each other. We will have faith that our relationships with others will stay strong and positive. And we will be humble and control our emotions, such as anger with others. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. In closing, I can't stress enough the importance of forgiving one another. You know, there are churches that there have been great upheavals and strife among the members because people have refused to forgive one another. Pastors have shunned members of the congregation. Deacons have kicked out pastors from the church because of their unforgiving hearts. Congregations have been split in two because one group of people are not willing to forgive the other group. And then there's families. Unforgiveness fractures families. They're tender-hearted towards one another, and they don't forgive each other. Jesus warns us that if we are unforgiving of others, God will be unforgiving of us. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's Matthew 6:14 and 15. You know, it's my prayer that we never become hard-hearted to others. It's my prayer that we treat each other with kindness, that we have tender hearts for one another, and that we always be quick to forgive for Christ's sake. I'll just close with a couple of verses in Colossians. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the many verses you have given us on forgiveness. And Lord, we're living in a world that seems to be very unforgiving right now. And there's a lot of anger against politicians. People seem to be angry with one another. But I pray, Lord, that the spirit of forgiveness and love would just be part of our church, of each one of us, and that we would live in harmony and humility, and just remember that we're able to forgive easily because we're doing it for Christ's sake. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.